It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that the match that started out as the Devil's Playground became my proving ground. It's where I learned that if it didn't kill me, it made me stronger. It's where I learned how to push the limits of human endurance. It's where I learned what it takes to end another man's career. It's where I thrive. It's where I excel.
We're on the road to WrestleMania, and you're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live. And this is SRL on a Monday night.
It's Monday evening, SRL on a Monday night. Back at it in the studio, I'm Corey Callahan, joined alongside James McDonald.
Hello, everybody.
And for the first time ever, we are joined in studio by our local wrestling insider, but tonight he's not going so local. His name is Corey Basso.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. We're going global.
How you doing, Corey? You doing all right?
I'm doing very well. It was a pleasure to join you guys tonight for Monday Raw. I'm looking forward to breaking it down, WrestleMania style, baby.
Now, I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. You and I both have the same first name. Our parents knew what was going on. So from here on out, you're going as Basso. I'll go as Callahan, or... what do you want to do?
We'll call him Basso, we'll call you Corey. How's that sound?
Sounds
pretty. Does that
good.
Work for you?
I can dig it.
Okay. Are you offended that I'm taking the Corey name?
No, I've always suspected. To be quite honest with you, I slag my parents every day. Not a big fan of the name Corey.
What? It's a bit of a girl's name.
Interesting tidbit. I was actually named after Corey Hart, so that probably has something to do with it.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Everybody asks me if I wear my sunglasses at night, too.
Well, I have a whole arsenal of jokes to go for that with that one, but I'll keep it to myself. All right, SRL on a Monday night. Before we get going, let me remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com or facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're hip and cool to the scene, at SRL Radio on Twitter.
You too can be trendy.
I hate when you say that.
Oh, you love it.
Now, before we get into the Monday Night Raw, that was quite the event tonight, I got to remind everyone that we are less than a week away. Well, let's see here. Are we less? No, we're just over a week away until we are broadcasting live in Miami, Florida. James and I are going to be broadcasting Smack Talk Radio Live from WrestleMania Access.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
We're going to be broadcasting live from South Beach itself, right on the beach. It's
going to be even better.
And then we are going to be broadcasting Monday, the day after WrestleMania Sunday. Because let's face it, James, you and I, we're not going to be in the right state of mind for WrestleMania Sunday to do a show.
We'll be lucky if we remember the last two matches.
Like I said before, I went to WrestleMania 26. I have yet to still see the main event because I wasn't in the right state of mind come the end. Regardless, I am looking forward to that show, and there's a lot going on that weekend, so we will have the times posted as to when we will be broadcasting live shortly. Check out our website for all the details. Now, fellas... are you excited? First of all, well, James, first of all, let me ask you, are you excited that we got Basso in the studio tonight?
Oh, I'm totally excited. It's great to have a new voice and a new opinion in here rather than just you and me shooting back and forth.
I got to admit, it gets kind of...
you do get kind of annoying.
Yeah, I was going to say that about you, but it's, you know, you and I can only talk about wrestling so much before we need to have a fresh take, and I figure we got Corey Basso in here tonight, and Basso, what's your background on just wrestling in general? Where do you come from? Like, I mean, obviously you are not a professional wrestler yourself, but long-time fan of the WWE?
Long-time fan of the WWE, WCW, ECW, what you have. More recent fan of ECCW in the local wrestling scene, of course. But always, like I tell people, I'm just a fan. I give my opinion. You're probably not going to like it. You might like it. Either way, let's discuss it. Let's have a good chat. Let's not get angry at each other. No riots. Just maybe some friendly banter back and forth.
But that makes for such great radio.
That's what makes for great radio. And that's what's good about wrestling is that everybody has a different opinion. So you're going to get those different arguments, if you will.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. I would refute that, but we have to get going on the show. I don't know.
Let's get into it, boys.
All right. Monday Night Raw from Philadelphia tonight, the Wells Fargo Center. They announced 18,088 fans for Monday Night Raw tonight.
Sold out Wells Fargo Center.
Now, before we get into any details, we're just fresh coming off watching Monday Night Raw. Basso, you first. What did you think? What's your overall vibe of Monday Night Raw tonight?
in one sentence, and I'll keep this very short and very brief, they crammed a lot into one show. Whether it was beneficial to the product or not, I don't know. I think that's what's up for discussion tonight, but they definitely covered their bases as far as WrestleMania matches and moments.
Mm-hmm. I think they covered every single program going into WrestleMania tonight on Raw.
Absolutely. Both SmackDown and Raw related.
So made for some very short matches, which is what we'll
the
talk about.
The whole show
here
was moving at an incredibly fast rate tonight. Would you agree?
Oh, very fast rate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's start the whole show off. We're shown right away with a graphic showing a face-to-face with all three men, HBK, Undertaker, and Triple H. And then we're also shown a graphic promoting John Cena versus Mark Henry tonight. At this point, Justin Roberts announces the WWE World Champion, and that would be CM Punk. He walks out wearing his championship belt, a very serious-looking CM Punk.
Very good crowd reaction, too, but he gets that wherever he goes.
So. Mm-hmm. And we're shown what happened last week on Raw with Chris Jericho talking about CM Punk's dad being an alcoholic and how he will make CM Punk drink after WrestleMania is over. Now, CM Punk, once he's in the ring, he's looking furious. I guess he's still very angry from a week ago.
Very intense.
And he grabs the microphone and he says, right off the bat, I want to let everyone know that Chris Jericho isn't here tonight, which goes to show you what kind of a man Chris Jericho is. But it's a gift because Jericho pissed me off. I look out here and I see kids, grown-ups, brothers, sisters, people sitting at home watching the show. All these people in some way have been affected by alcoholism. Jericho wants to make light out of a serious subject, all because he wants to get into my head, under my skin, for some sort of advantage at WrestleMania. He also goes on to say that Chris Jericho doesn't know him at all because this hasn't affected him. It backfired because this is now your problem. And at WrestleMania, if there's a monster inside me, I'm going to let that monster out. I refuse to let my past dictate my future. Jericho, he forgot the end of that story last week because CM Punk says that his dad has actually worked very hard to overcome his addictions. And here's the most important part. CM Punk is proud of his father. And he's proud himself of being straight edge. It's why it's tattooed on his body. Chris Jericho is an obstacle, and at WrestleMania, he's going to go straight through that, proving that he really is the best in the world.
Very good promo here, I thought. I really like CM Punk's intensity here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I liked his intensity. Yes, I did. I thought the promo kind of was a bit narrow in the fact that all CM Punk could really talk about was, you know, how proud he was of his father. And it kind of stopped there, and near the end, it was kind of Punk just repeating himself. But what I did like, as James mentioned, was that there was intensity there. And I think that's when Punk is at his best, is when he's angry, he's defiant, and he wants to stick it to not the man in this case, but the man, Chris Jericho.
Now, let me ask you guys something. Did this program need to go this route? I mean, here we had a championship title on the line. We had CM Punk, who legitimately could be arguably the best guy in the WWE, at least in the past year. And here you had an old superstar, Chris Jericho, coming back. And these two legitimately had, you know, people were talking about and still are talking about that this is going to be the best wrestled match on the show. Did we need to bring this whole outside the ring element to this program?
I don't know. You know what? I thought it was a little bit awkward at first, but now a week later, I can kind of see why they did it. I mean, it's pretty much just an old school heel tactic to generate more heat for Chris Jericho going into the match.
And do you like that?
I thought maybe he could have done it a different way, really, rather than just, you know, going the alcoholism route, but I don't mind it now.
I'm kind of torn on this one. While I'm not a huge fan of them playing up CM Punk's straight edge role, I didn't mind it when he was doing it almost as like a cult leader in the heel when he had the straight edge society, but I find CM Punk, when he does his straight edge thing as a baby face, it almost feels like he's forcing it down your throat. In this case, I think WWE, whether you guys agree with me on the angle or not, they did take the right thing. They need to make this feud something different. This couldn't be like Daniel Bryan and Sheamus where Bryan was running in and causing Sheamus every match, because we'd expect that. This had to be something different. I think some of Chris Jericho's best work as a heel has come when he's antagonizing people and their families. Like, look back at Dean Malenko's legendary rivalry in WCW. Jericho was a little bit more comical of a heel back then, but he was still doing nasty, nasty, mean things, and he's doing them now in a more serious role. And I think Jericho, he looks the part doing it, and I think they've gone the step to make that feud look a little bit different. And I'm interested to see where it goes. They have to do something with it now that it's in their court.
The one thing I really like about what they've done here is, up until Jericho had mentioned this alcoholism, I think it in the back of the majority of hardcore wrestling fans' minds, they were thinking that this is a classic case of an old superstar coming back to accelerate a new superstar into the spotlight. And you've heard Vince McMahon quote that before at the investor
right,
conference.
Right, that's
kind of
like the route that they're going now.
The route that they want to go. They want to use old superstars to accelerate new superstars.
To build up the new guys.
And I think up until that point when Jericho had mentioned the alcoholism, you know, most people were thinking that that's probably going to happen at WrestleMania. But now they've brought this route, they've brought this aspect into the storyline where Jericho is saying, after WrestleMania, Punk, when I beat you, you will take a drink and you will hit rock bottom as of sorts. And actually, when I think about it, it's not a bad idea to have CM Punk go that route, where he has a colossal breakdown and he does hit rock bottom. And you have a Jericho coming out, you know, drunk one week on Raw. Or, you know, just as an example.
You mean like CM Punk coming out?
CM Punk, yeah. You could actually see that happening. And to me, they've kind of evened the playing field. Maybe the old superstar isn't putting the new superstar over at this WrestleMania.
Really? I can't see Jericho going over at this.
That doesn't change your opinion in any way?
I think the smart mark in all of us knows probably Jericho won't go over, mm-hmm. but he's making it believable. We can actually think,
yes.
You know what? He has gotten inside CM Punk's head. Who else in the WWE has gotten inside CM Punk's head?
Yeah.
Nobody yet. It adds a new dimension to Punk's character. It gives him a bit of depth. He's not just this stone cold carefree, like Jericho says, brush it off, whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's gotten inside Punk's head. And I think now we can believe that Punk has shown weakness and he might lose at WrestleMania. Whether it happens or not, still to be seen.
Deep down, do you think that will happen, though?
I don't think Punk wins. I don't think Jericho wins at WrestleMania. I think Punk goes over. WrestleMania is typically used as a show, especially now in the PG era, to kind of showcase how good can conquer evil, and I think mm-hmm. that's what this will be.
Now, do you think Jericho sticks around after WrestleMania is over?
Oh,
I mean, if Punk beats him at WrestleMania, where does Jericho go from there? Tough call at this point.
I don't know.
Obviously.
If I can see actually Jericho going away for a little bit after WrestleMania. Hmm. After CM Punk beats him, I can see Jericho taking a hiatus for a few months, maybe.
Fair enough. Like CM Punk said earlier, Jericho apparently isn't there in Philadelphia tonight. But after Punk cuts this promo in the ring on Chris Jericho, we are then treated to Chris Jericho being shown live on the TitanTron via satellite.
Live via satellite. Live from mm-hmm. where?
Yeah, well, we were discussing that.
A fancy movie studio. Do you see that suit he had on? Come on.
Yeah. Well, Jericho, over the TitanTron, addresses CM Punk, and he says, "I didn't think it was right. I see you tonight in the ring, and I want to say something, though. I don't think what I said last week was right, and CM Punk, I am sorry. This is Chris talking," referring to himself, not as his character, Chris Jericho. And he says that, "I was out of line. I'm sorry. I hope you forgive me. I won't say anything bad about your father ever again." And then we get a brief pause, and he says, "However, your sister? Now that's a whole other ballgame. Your sister has a drug problem, and everyone knows addicts will do anything to get their fix. There's a pattern here, Punk. Your dad's an alcoholic, your sister is a drug addict, and you're going to follow in their footsteps. You will drink after it's over at WrestleMania, and yeah, you'll probably overcome that. But when I beat you at WrestleMania and become the new WWE champion, that's something you'll never overcome."
Now, this right here was Chris Jericho at his heelish best. I mean, he's leading us down one road here, having us believe one thing by apologizing to CM Punk, and then all of a sudden, bam, just swerves it on everybody by bringing up his sister and then starts insulting his sister.
Almost like when Jericho came out as a face on his debut and just, you know, instantly turned heel.
I loved it, man. I love what Chris Jericho's doing here.
I really think Chris Jericho, especially a guy who's been in the business for so long, he really gets the psychology of the business and what it is to do certain things in a certain character and what way to play off certain things.
Yes.
And I think he's just doing it very well in this Punk promo, and Punk looks pissed. Mm-hmm. He looks mad. Mm-hmm. And even then, he
looked like he was going to cry almost.
He bleeped out a couple words. He threw a couple cuss words out there, and they don't just hand out those like confetti during the PG era. So it was interesting.
So this is really what this program needed, legit heat between the two. And, you know, these guys really are amping it up to the next level, and they are seriously pissed at each other.
No, I like it. I'm really excited for this match going into WrestleMania.
You know, when we actually see Chris Jericho on the TitanTron and he says about all this about Punk, you know, Punk actually gets so mad that he yelled something, but they muted the audio, obviously because it was some sort of swear word. We weren't really sure what it was. But then when you actually, you know, they cut the camera and you can see the CM Punk's face, And he's saying, you know, Jericho, you're bullshit. You know, that's what he was mouthing, I guess. And he says, you know, Jericho, you're bullshit. And at WrestleMania, that's exactly what I'm going to beat out of you.
He's going to beat the bullshit out of him?
He's pissed. That's what I mean, though. I think they're working this program properly right now. And I think I'm interested to see now, Jericho's covered Punk's dad. He's covered his sister. Where does he go from here? We know Jericho is capable of some pretty dastardly stuff. So I don't see Punk having a rebuttal for Jericho's antics. Because as far as I know, Jericho is a pretty clean personal past reading his autobiographies. So it'll be interesting to see what Punk does and then what Jericho does.
Well, Punk could always go the route of Jericho left the WWE for Hollywood and really has failed up until this point. I mean, he was the first eliminated on that. Remember that show, you can sing with the celebrities or whatever, and Jericho was the first one eliminated on that reality show. Yeah. Like, there's failed Hollywood attempts by Chris Jericho, and Punk could go that route. I don't know if he will, because that's a much different path to go than alcoholism and drug addiction.
And that's almost repeating the path of kind of what Cena and The Rock are doing, and I don't think they want to tread on that territory, and I'm sure probably Vince probably wouldn't let them tread on that territory. So
yeah, they don't want to parallel that program.
Well, these two programs really are very similar already.
They are.
Yeah. So, all right. After this opening segment, well, you know, opening segment, very good to start off Monday Night Raw.
I thought it was good. I thought it was a very good opening segment.
I feel good.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. All right. I feel good that you feel good. We are shown Kane and Big Show walking backstage as we head into commercial break. We come back from commercial. Kane already in the middle of the ring, and really we join him in progress as he's shooting flames from the ring corners. This was the first hint that they were really accelerating through the program here tonight. And Michael Cole reminds us that he's battling Randy Orton at WrestleMania. And it's at this point that the Big Show's music hits, and he walks out, setting up Kane versus Big Show.
So right before the match actually begins, we have Cody Rhodes come down to the ring, and apparently he's going to join the commentary team for some commentary, but that, as we'll find out here, that never really happened. Now, anyways, the match would begin with a lockup. Big Show would get early control, and it was a short match, which is a theme that we'll see throughout the night.
Before you get going here, James, I wanted to just bring up the fact that this video package that Cody Rhodes...
Oh, right, I completely missed that.
Cody Rhodes actually, when he walks down the entrance ramp, you know, he throws to a video package. Well, he didn't really throw to a video package. He just sort of turned around and looked behind him and was waiting for the video to start. And when the video starts, it's a video full of Big Show's not-so-great moments. And this is including him at, you know, WWE New York, the Big Show sumo wrestling, him getting sockoed by Mick Foley, Money Mayweather knocking him out with brass knuckles.
These WrestleMania, woo!
Yeah, that clip was hilarious.
I think that's going to be a lasting line. That's just what I think. And you know, we come back and Cody Rhodes standing there laughing, and then that's where the match starts. Right. Sorry to interrupt you there.
Yeah, no worries. So anyways, like I was saying, Big Show would get early control, and he'd actually try to go for a choke slam right off the start of the match, but that would get blocked by Kane. Big Show would then regain control, and he'd kind of go up to the second rope to attempt to do a maneuver, but at this point, Cody Rhodes would jump up onto the apron. He would distract the Big Show, and then Kane would come up and he'd actually choke slam the Big Show off the top turnbuckle, which looked kind of both awkward and cool at the same time. And he'd pin Big Show for the win at, like, what was it? Well, not even a minute that match, was it?
Very short.
And after the match, Cody Rhodes, he slides into the ring. He ends up giving the beautiful disaster to Big Show.
Springboard off the second rope. Yeah, that was nice.
And he actually pulls out handcuffs, and he locks the Big Show's hands behind his back, but he's got the bottom rope in between. So Big Show's hands are stuck behind the bottom rope. Really can't. He's got nowhere to go. And Cody Rhodes puts on boxing gloves.
These big red boxing gloves, yeah.
And he begins to jab away on the Big Show, or as Michael Cole referenced, he teed off on the Big Show. And, what'd you take? What's your take on this one?
I don't know. You have to progress this program somehow, I guess. And that was all right.
To be quite honest with you, I like a good comical video package. And up until Cody Rhodes announced the Big Show's record at WrestleMania, I'd never even thought about it. I never even knew that the Big Show had that crummy a wrestling record at the biggest event of the year. But that video package was hilarious. You can tell he's just teasing the Big Show. And then at first I thought, why the heck is he wearing boxing gloves when he's hitting him? Why don't you just hit him bare knuckled? But then I was like, he's tying in the Mayweather thing. You know, he's throwing a little jab at a verbal or a proverbial jab at the Big Show, and I thought it worked. And I can't say I'm over the top hyped for this match at WrestleMania just yet, but for what it was, it worked.
I think for the time given for these two tonight, or for, you know, for Big Show and Cody Rhodes, I thought they did an excellent job of progressing the story between these two, and it's going to be a great mid-card matchup, I'd say.
Honestly, I still would have rather seen Shaq versus Big Show, but
and
we all know that's not going to happen.
And I would have rather seen Goldust versus Cody Rhodes.
Exactly.
I was really hoping for that one too, fellas. And when they were working that program with the Booker T and the Goldust, I was like, good, good, you know, we're on to something.
And
especially since we were just talking about older talent kind of bigging up big talent, this is brother and brother in this case. I thought it would have been a great thing for the WWE to cash in on, and I think that's a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
The referees actually end up cutting the Big Show free with bolt cutters, because I guess they just have bolt cutters sitting at ringside.
Everything's under the ring, guys. Beer, ladders, bolt cutters, tables, what have you.
iPads.
The realm of hell itself.
Everything is under that ring.
The realm of hell itself.
That's right.
We actually then see a promo package promoting the brand new WWE.com website. Couldn't help but notice how eerily similar it was to the WWE Network vignettes that they were airing not too long ago.
At least it wasn't as painfully like 3D-ish as the old Network promo
ads.
Yeah,
those were seizure-inducing, those Network promos.
Have you guys been to the new WWE website since they've launched it?
I have, actually. It's very, very nice.
Have you been to it?
I have not, no.
Basso, not doing his homework. not that you're going to find anything.
I was
going to
say, am I
website.
Missing something?
No.
Does it still have the event listings tab? I think I'm okay.
Now, after commercial break, David Otunga walks out with John Laurinaitis, who is clapping, and Otunga does some ridiculous pose on one knee.
Hold on. Before we had the Did You Know before that.
Okay, sure. Go
on. So this week's Did You Know, Corey, is that fans from all 50 states and more than 35 countries have purchased tickets to Access, and we are one of them.
Representing Canada, I guess.
The state of Canada, that's right.
Yes, that's right. Are you looking forward to Access, James?
I actually am, because when I went for WrestleMania 26, it was actually really cool.
Yeah.
You got to see like the old limousine that got blown out on that one episode, and then they had all the belts were displayed. And
yeah.
The Undertaker actually came out and cut a promo. That was really cool. And
I like seeing
It was a good time all around.
I like seeing all the championship belts in the display case that they have, and they got a bunch of other things. If you've never been to a WrestleMania Access Festival, it's definitely worth checking out.
I have not, gentlemen. I've not been privy enough to go to a WrestleMania, let alone a WrestleMania Access. Do they bring lots of legends out to do signings or greetings?
Well, what they have
like
is what they have is they have all these autograph tables set up around the convention center, and you know, lineups for each person, and they have different slotted times for each autograph session.
Yeah.
So you never really know. Like, they do announce the main attractions, but you never really know who the other superstars that are going to be there are until you get there. And yes, they have had legends there. I mean, let's see here. Who have I seen there?
Well, when we went 2 years ago, there was one night that was really packed, and then there was the next night that they did it, and it wasn't as it wasn't as crazy as it was in that, because I think that first night they had like John Cena and Bret Hart that night.
Iron Sheik.
They've shown like I remember they had Sergeant Slaughter there. To answer your question, yes, they do have legends there, but you don't really know until you get there.
Gotcha. Please continue.
Yes. Now, once in the ring, I had to make note of this. John Laurinaitis is waving to the crowd, smiling like, almost looking like the queen there as he waves to the crowd. Now, it's at this point that the United States champion, Santino Marella, he walks out with Teddy Long standing behind him, clapping. And the bell rings. David Otunga poses. This is his new thing, I think. He's going to be posing almost like, I guess, Rick Rude-esque, if you know.
He's like the black Chris Masters.
Yeah.
It was quite, I want to say sensual, but it looked like he was doing something for a girly magazine or something. It was really weird.
Now, do you like it? I mean, not in that way, but do you like what he's doing with that?
Hey, it works. It's something different for him, so.
It's something different, but it kind of seems weird considering we've been seeing him wearing a sweater vest and a bow tie for the last 3 months of being this conservative lawyer, and then all of a sudden he's pretty much doing like a full Monty on the top of the stage, so it was weird kind of for me.
The thing about David Otunga is I think after WrestleMania is over, you are going to see this guy get a major push to the spotlight. I really believe that.
Well, he's already getting tons of way more TV time than he did before, and that's just from sipping a coffee mug and being Johnny's lawyer boy.
Yeah.
He may get a push, but I don't see him being anywhere near the main event, though.
No? I mean, it's early right now.
He needs way more seasoning in the ring before he's anywhere near the main event.
Well, yeah, I guess.
We'll see what happens.
Yes, that's right. Now, the bell rings. David Otunga poses again. The crowd boos. Santino, this is hilarious. He's got painted on abs.
Santino's just getting crazy crowd reaction too. Ugh. Just a massive positive. It's unbelievable how over Santino's getting these days.
So he's almost mocking David Otunga's abs with, you know, a painted set of his own.
I love that.
And when he poses himself, of course the crowd cheers, And David Otunga, he rebuttals with another pose, and then Santino poses, but he actually pulls a muscle on his second pose, and David Otunga capitalizes.
Yeah, so Otunga, of course, he'll take early control of the match by punching and kicking Santino. Otunga would then go for a scoop slam on Santino, but Santino would block it, then he would hit his moveset, which is like the splits into the hip toss and then the jumping headbutt. Santino then would go for the Cobra, and this is like, what, 30 seconds into the match. And it's at this point that the camera shows John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long arguing at ringside, and at one point, Laurinaitis' cell phone got thrown into the ring. And this kind of distracted Santino for a second, and he's sitting there trying to stomp on the cell phone, and he turns around and he gets, I guess, walks into the, what are we going to call it, the Otunga Spike?
The Otunga Spike.
The That's Otunga Spike.
What we apparently have dubbed it tonight.
So yeah, he walks into the Otunga Spike, and he gets... yeah, pin clean for the win. 1, 2, 3.
If they start calling it that on Monday Night Raw, we have way more important fans than we know of.
Well, they're going to be hearing from our own personal David Otunga.
Yes, that's right. Now, after the match, John Laurinaitis, he's mocking Santino, doing the trumpet in the middle of the ring, and he goes right up to Santino and he claps right in the face of him, and then he gets in the face of Teddy Long, who eventually ends up slapping John Laurinaitis. And Cole says that Teddy should be arrested or sued as Teddy Long makes his way up the ramp. Now, you guys looking forward to this John Laurinaitis-Teddy Long match? Basil, I'm interested to hear your opinion on this.
Yeah, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm being put on the spot then. It's filler. Are we splitting hairs here? Mm-hmm. God knows we could do a million different other better things with guys like Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, R-Truth. You have it. We got a lot of talent in this match, and unfortunately they're spot fillers, but... I think they could do a lot more than just childish playing around antics to make it seem like, you know what, your job could be on the line here, fellas, if you lose this match. Instead, they've kind of made a comical battle between two inept GMs, it seems. It's almost like a Three Stooges, if you will.
That's a good point. They could have went a really more serious route with this match. You know, putting that threat out there that these wrestlers may not have jobs if they don't win their match.
Right.
That's a good point. I think they could have. But really, this is WrestleMania's Money in the Bank, because, you know, we don't have the Money in the Bank.
It's the match to get guys something to do, right?
Yeah. Now, are you missing the Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania, knowing that we have a 12-man tag match?
Yes. I am still missing it, because if you look back to last year's WrestleMania, and I don't like to because I didn't overly enjoy it, but I look back to a match like The Core versus Big Show, Santino, Kane, and I think it was Kozlov. It ended in 2 minutes, and it was strictly filler. And that was a match that contained Wade Barrett, who had the Intercontinental Championship. Heath Slater, I think, had the U.S. belt, or somebody had the U.S. belt there.
Yeah.
And it was just wasted for a lot of talent, and they didn't even execute it like a proper tag match. It was a squash match. And then I turn again, and I look to the Snooki match, which, again, was a tag match that was more of just for the spectacle. It was terrible, and it lasted short. Unless they can make this into a good Survivor Series something-type-style match, I think it might be a toss-away, which is a pain with guys like Christian and stuff involved.
Well, we haven't even been told if this is going to be an elimination style match or if this is just a one pinfall match.
I hope it's an elimination style.
I don't think it will be.
I don't think it will be, but I think it would benefit from being an elimination style match. You'd get an actual match out of it where these talent can showcase themselves, and you'd feel like, okay, this match actually means something.
Mm-hmm. Now, I asked former WWE writer Andrew Goldstein last Thursday what he thought the implications of this match could have, and I had brought up the idea that, you know, if one of these GMs does end up running both shows, is this just simply a storyline thing, or will we actually see the two brands become combined, being run under one GM, and will we see the end of the two, you know, the brand split, I should say? Do you think that could come out of this match, or is that thinking way too much of this?
I don't think the WWE is clever enough for that, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. While I think the roster would benefit from a roster merge from SmackDown and Raw, I don't think they're going to do that. And I think you're just going to kind of see the same kind of thing going around, but just less of Teddy or less of Johnny, whoever may be on the losing end of it. I don't think there's any real repercussions. We haven't seen any implication of any real repercussions.
Yeah.
So you think the roster would benefit then from both brands merging?
I do think that, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No.
Then why do you think that? Like, I would think that by merging two brands, you're creating less TV time for the lower-tiered superstars, meaning that you wouldn't have as much opportunity to build yourself a name.
That is true. But again, just because we're not they don't have to be specific to separate brands, but if they can, if one guy can get his name on the SmackDown show, it doesn't need, even need to be his brand, if you know what I mean. It's just that when people get tagged with these brands and you only see a guy like Jinder Mahal or so, whatever you want to say on SmackDown, he could do both, I think. And I think the WWE needs to establish their supporting card, their mid card, and their main card. And they just need to solidify them and just figure out who is who, because like R-Truth, he was in the main event last year. Like, we had a bunch of guys run through the main event thing that are just found nothing to do now. They need to solidify these guys in a spot, I think.
Yeah.
And I think they just need to abolish the brands. But that's my opinion, of course.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, after the whole Teddy Long, John Laurinaitis physicality, we are then reminded again that the three icons will be face-to-face tonight, that being Triple H, Undertaker, and HBK. And we're shown a graphic of The Rock coming up next. We head to commercial break. And after commercial, we're showing a video package initially showing Asian tattoos covered over a large body. We see a brief glimpse of a bald head. And then we see the words Lord Tensai coming soon.
Lord Tensai.
The unknown leader of Kai and Tai, if anybody remembers that.
Now, I'm thinking off the top of my head, as it was rumored this week, that A-Train, or Albert, or however you want to remember
Matt
him
Bloom,
as,
his real name,
yeah,
has re-signed with the WWE. He actually denied it on Twitter, but that looked awfully close to A-Train, did it not?
Yeah, it did. I could see it being A-Train.
You don't mistake the back of that dome anywhere. That it was definitely A-Train's head.
The other thing is A-Train has been over in Japan wrestling for the last few years. He's actually a very big star there. So it would make sense that he comes in with this character. I mean, I don't know.
Where do you see it slotting in, though? What is Lord Tensai's purpose in the WWE to start off?
Lord Tensai versus Brodus Clay. I'd like to see that. I haven't even seen this guy yet.
Rumors that he could be like a bodyguard type character for John Laurinaitis or something. But
yeah. Got you. We'll have to see where that goes. That's interesting because I don't know where the heck they could possibly slide him in.
Are you a fan of these promo videos where they don't tell you who it is, but they hype it up? You know, we'll probably see something very similar next week, you know, probably for the next 4 weeks. Are you a fan of those videos?
Depends. I like the spectacle behind the Jericho one because you knew it was Jericho, but you kind of didn't. And there was that, but I don't think anybody really cares enough about Lord Tensai. It's not that big of a deal, but got to do it somehow. You got to put the name out and the recognition somehow.
They seem to do this an awful lot.
See, I like that. I like when they have these video vignettes for these new characters coming in. I think it kind of puts their name out there, you know, lets you know who they are a little bit before they put them on TV. Like what they did with Alberto Del Rio, for example, was perfect, I thought, where they had all those video vignettes for him before he finally made his debut and stuff like that. So, no, I am totally a fan.
Or the Brodus Clay curveball where they show you all these videos of a guy that's like, oh, my God, he's gonna rip the hood off my car and blank it over my head. But, nope, he comes out singing and dancing.
They did it with Sin Cara as well.
Yeah.
They've done it a lot. And I just feel like I feel like it's just a cheap way to introduce a new character. You're just... I know you have to slot him in somehow, but it's just a very weak way of bringing him in.
But you know what? I think having those video vignettes would help the new guy get over a little bit more than just all of a sudden throwing him out there on TV and nobody knows who the hell he is.
See, no, I was just going to make a point. Some of the more famous debuts in WWE have made by people just kind of jumping the barricade and beating the crap out of someone. China jumped the barricade and assaulted Marlena to get her start. Lance Storm did the same thing when he came to WWE. I'm sure there's a handful of other guys.
Booker T. Nails? Do you remember Nails?
The criminal.
Santino Marella. Yeah.
Santino Marella. I think guys just hopping the rail and people are just being like, who is that just interfered in that match? And especially with the internet today where you could go online and be like, who was that guy? And somebody would probably have the answer for you. I think the thrill of the hunt there is a little bit more than just being like, okay, there's the vignette. I kind of know who that is.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Different take.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, Michael Cole throws to The Rock having choice words for John Cena earlier today. So I guess at this point, we're not going to get The Rock live in Philadelphia. We're going to get another earlier today vignette, almost like he did in Boston when he was there.
Oh.
And Cleveland. Didn't he do it in Cleveland as well?
No,
Cleveland, he was last where The Rock sing-along was.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So in Boston. That's right.
Boston.
Now, The Rock, in this earlier today video package, he's standing at the famous Rocky statue. And The Rock says, you know, this is the statue. Well, the statue that he's standing in front of, it represents the fighting spirit of Philadelphia. At 12 years old, The Rock stood in front of this statue and became inspired. He shows a photo of himself posing in front of it at 12 years old. Crowd pops for that. Now, the most important thing about that picture, though, he says, is The Rock was dreaming of becoming the greatest of all time. The Rock was watching the immortal Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 2. Then at WrestleMania 6, The Rock was watching the Ultimate Warrior. The most important thing, though, was at WrestleMania 15 when The Rock became the WWE champion in Philadelphia against Stone Cold. That night, The Rock made two vows. One, Rock would never face a man in jean shorts. And two, The Rock would continue on to become the greatest of all time. And there's only one guy left to go through to make that happen, John Cena. That's 13 days away. The Rock wants to talk about tonight. The Rock is going to walk into that arena tonight, step into the middle of the ring, and send John Cena a message. And if you don't get that message, The Rock is going to get into his car, drive to Pat's, I believe he said.
Oh, I love Pat's.
Get the biggest cheesesteak he can find, turn that sunbitch sideways, and stick it straight up John Cena's ass. And when Cena has that stuck in his ass, everyone will say, bang, bang, woo, and ooh, yeah. And then The Rock finishes the promo saying, you know, standard stuff like he's going to beat Cena at WrestleMania if we all smell what he's cooking. But then the best part of the promo was when we show the hot blonde standing in the crowd after.
That was easily the best part of the promo.
Just the visual of a cheesesteak up John Cena's ass.
Huh, interesting. Now, The Rock, earlier today, video package. Are you liking that or not liking it?
Well, initially I was like, oh man, is this what we're going to see from The Rock this week? Just another pre-taped video package? Right there, I was losing all interest, but he kind of caught me near the end there.
I didn't like the video thing. I am morally against that kind of stuff, especially as a paying customer who does go to see these shows. I can only imagine what the Philadelphia faithful must have been thinking when they saw The Rock.
Yeah, I'd be kind of cheesesteaked.
Big dome up on the screen as opposed to in the ring. As far as the promo itself, I thought it was typical Rock. Mm-hmm. If you really look at The Rock's promos, and maybe I just couldn't see through them when I was a young kid, he's just a lot of random humor is what he is. He threw in a few funny wrestling impressions. He threw the cheesesteak up the ass. But really all he did was recant a little bit of WrestleMania history for a few laughs. If you look at John Cena's promos during this little saga they've had, he hits on real issues and real things that hammer home. And I think I don't want to say real wrestling fans, but a lot of wrestling fans are taking notice of that and being like, maybe John is right, because a lot of The Rock's promos are very cookie cutter. They're very the same. They seem very rehearsed. I was gonna say
that The Rock's video packages are very Hollywood-esque. He looks like an actor in these packages.
Yes.
It doesn't seem genuine to me.
No.
It really doesn't.
And I think the reason why they are going this route of pre-tape packages is possibly because, you know, The Rock is not, when he's standing in the middle of the ring, he hasn't been outstanding. So, you know, when you are pre-taping something, you have the opportunity to redo it if it's not as good as you think it is. Do you think that's going on?
I think that could be a part of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit of maybe the rust in front of a live crowd, I don't know.
Another thing I kind of see from The Rock, and everybody does it, but The Rock seems to be very consistent at doing it, is he always does something with regards to the town he's in for a cheap pop. And I think The Rock is above that. I think The Rock is the type of guy that can go in with his persona and his aura and just get the pop itself without having to be like Philly cheesesteak. Or, for instance, in Portland, he off camera, he was hamming up how his dad used to live in Portland to get on the fans' good side. I think we can do without with that from The Rock. Let's see some edge. Let's see some realness. Drop the Hollywood.
Let's see him take it seriously.
Thank you. Drop the Hollywood.
Well, maybe this is, you know, getting this cheap face pop and really hammering it home that he is all about the fans is setting up for a possible heel turn at WrestleMania.
The only thing I could possibly be thinking of is they're trying to ram The Rock so far down our throat that we like John Cena. And that's something that WWE hasn't been able to get fans to do for a while.
But what I'm saying is they are jamming The Rock down our throats as a good guy. They are really hammering it home that this guy is all about the people in every city that he goes. And they're almost going over the top with it. That it could possibly, you know, trigger a heel turn. I mean, I know that's... I mean, it's a mere opinion of mine, I don't think so, but
I think they're jamming them both down our throats as good guys.
They are, but I think we're seeing a lot more edge from Cena as opposed to The Rock. I mean, he's calling Rock out on real things. I thought his rap last year when he brought back
April 21st.
Yes, on April 21st, and he brought back the Doctor of Thuganomics and did that, and I thought he roasted The Rock. I thought The Rock's rap concert flopped in comparison to it because he hit him on real things.
Yeah.
He still used his John Cena character and panache to do it. And it didn't seem overly fake. Like, Cena looks like he's pissed.
The biggest difference is Cena is taking this seriously, and it seems like The Rock is. And that's what it just feels like to me when you break it all down to the core.
Well, he does look a little more serious later on in the evening tonight. We'll get there.
Wait, he showed up?
Yes.
Oh, wow. We'll have to get to that.
That was the big question mark as we were heading into commercial break here, wasn't it? Would he show up? But after the commercial break, Well, actually, sorry. Before we went to commercial break, Daniel Bryan's music hits. We're back ringside now. Daniel Bryan's music hits. He walks out to the ring with his girlfriend, AJ. You know, they are in love together, you guys.
Didn't they kiss? They kissed.
Yes. Well,
hey, she loves Daniel Bryan, and he appreciates that.
Mm-hmm. Now, after commercial break, Zack Ryder walks out and looking as healed as ever, not wearing the neck brace anymore, and he's no longer in the wheelchair, I guess.
He's no longer selling the cane beatings.
No. He is wearing a new t-shirt, though. Which Basso liked.
I did like it. It was cool.
We then show Zack Ryder earlier today, another video package. I guess he's outside a stadium in Philadelphia where he's got a bunch of fans in a parking lot. That's sort of what it looked like to me. I couldn't quite make
there's
it
like
out
a
where they were.
There's like a football stadium or something mm-hmm. in the background.
And he has a megaphone in his hand, and he announces to everyone there that everyone knows he should be part of Team Teddy. We then go back to ringside. Well, that was basically the whole point of that video package, that he should be on Team Teddy. And we go back to ringside. Daniel Bryan gives AJ a very slow and passionate kiss. Mm. She's standing on the ring apron. And this would set up the start of the match to Daniel Bryan versus Zack Ryder.
So, yeah, this match would start out with some chain wrestling back and forth between the two. But Daniel Bryan would eventually take control with a nice kitchen sink on Zack Ryder. He would then start using the ropes to kind of stretch Zack Ryder out, doing some like leg stretch or leg locks and whatnot. And then eventually he would slingshot Zack Ryder under the bottom rope for a two count. But Ryder would eventually regain control of the match. He'd get Daniel Bryan in the corner. He'd actually hit him with that running boot to the face that he does.
The broski boot.
The broski boot. Thank you. No Ryder would then go for the Rough Rider, but it would actually be reversed. Daniel Bryan would actually get up and grab Ryder's arm as he was leaping in midair. It was actually quite impressive. And he reversed it into the lapel lock, and Ryder would tap out. And again, another very short match. I think it was only 2 minutes, two and a half minutes, this match.
After the match was over, Daniel Bryan celebrates on each turnbuckle as AJ gets in the ring. She gives Daniel Bryan a victory kiss on the cheek. It's at this point that Michael Cole then throws us to John Cena. Well, he throws it to a graphic showing John Cena. It was reported by TMZ today that Cena was involved in a car accident this morning. Michael Cole says he claims he is fine, but the marketing rep who was with him says otherwise.
Because he knows, because he's a doctor.
Yeah. Now, it really looks like they're going to... Well, I was thinking at this point that they're going to play up the angle of John Cena being involved in a car accident. And, you know, is this a scary moment for the WWE today?
How much do you think Vince McMahon was crapping his pants this morning?
I was reading some things online that said it may be a work. I doubt they would do a work with a car accident, of all things.
Well, if you think about it, they ended up on the front page of TMZ.com. That's promoting WrestleMania more than you'll ever know. I mean, if you actually read the front page of TMZ.com, after they talked about Cena being in the car accident, it said at the bottom of the little description, you know, this is, of course, before John Cena wrestles his epic match, one of the most anticipated in history, Sunday, April 1st at WrestleMania. So, you know, it's as, you know, as much as you don't want to see John Cena get into a car accident, this couldn't have been better publicity for him.
Good boy, Johnny. You did good.
Yeah. He walked away scot-free and ended up on the front page of TMZ.com.
And didn't look any worse for wear when he came out either.
No. Well, Mark Henry kind of hammered it home that he might be feeling the effects of being in a car accident, but we'll get there. After this happened, though, it was announced that Flo Rida, I should say, will be at WrestleMania.
Flo Rida in Florida?
Nice.
You got it.
Nice.
Flo Rida in Florida.
Now, John Cena's music hits. He walks out to a chorus of boos as he, you know, walks out. And he says to the handheld camera right beside him up on the entrance ramp, I will see you at WrestleMania 28, Sunday, April 1st. And then Cole, as Cena's walking down the ramp, Cole asks the question, is Cena hurt or not? And Mark Henry's music hits. He walks out. Now, I'm thinking at this point that, you know, Henry is really going to take advantage of the fact that Cena was in a car accident tonight. And I guess, you know, whether or not they did or not, James will get to. But this would set up Mark Henry versus John Cena.
No, they didn't really, I don't think, play up the whole car accident thing in this match. The whole match, well, part of the match was just a kind of showcase of Mark Henry's kind of brute strength. I mean, early on in the match, he'd toss Cena down. Cena would go for a headlock, and actually Henry would then toss him off the headlock, and he'd roll outside the ring. Henry would, you know, he basically, in the early part of the match, he'd just overpower Cena by punching him and headbutting him. He would toss Cena outside the ring. He'd go to the outside, actually, and he'd toss Cena into the outside barricade as they head to the commercial break. And as they came back from the break, you'd see Cena kind of trying to make a little bit of a comeback by punching Mark Henry, but Henry would then actually brutally, well, I thought it was a brutal anyways, brutal lariat. And
it was brutal. Do you see Henry celebrate afterwards? He was a man possessed tonight.
Yes. Yes, he was.
For the first half anyways. Continue.
Anyways, he'd hit a body splash onto Cena for a two count. He'd then start working Cena in the corner after the two count, and then he'd go and hit a running body splash on him in the corner. He would then, of course, you know, taunt the crowd, and he'd go for another body splash in the corner, but Cena would then move out of the way. Henry would hit the corner and then get backdropped by John Cena. Cena would then hit the five-knuckle shuffle on him. Cena would then reverse the world's strongest slam into an attitude adjustment for the win, and then guess who shows up?
Does that work or no?
Is that the radar sound they play on the traffic station right here?
I thought it was a pretty good rendition of the Rock's music.
Wait. Oh, I was going to say, that's The Rock. Yeah, of course.
So the Rock's music hits. He walks out to a much different ovation than what John Cena had. And he's wearing his boots to ass his t-shirt. He's also wearing jeans. Now, The Rock is walking out electrified at this point. He heads straight to the ring. Wastes no time, rock bottoms Mark Henry, who was down and out from his loss. He looks straight into the eyes of Cena, points to his boots to asses written on his t-shirt, and just leaves. We're then shown a replay of what just happened, and this is kind of interesting to me because after it was over, we see a disheveled John Cena pointing to the WrestleMania sign, almost like we were supposed to feel sorry for the guy that The Rock had just come out and trumped his moment.
At least he didn't get a cheesesteak up his ass.
Yeah. Now,
did you like how it transitioned right from The Rock's entrance music into John Cena's as he's pointing to the sign?
Yeah.
It was a weird transition, wasn't it?
It was. But here's the thing. When Rock was walking to the ring, as electrified as he was, you know, he had those intense eyes. I think all three of us were thinking, this is it. This is when we're going to get that intense stare down with those two. Possibly a rock bottom. Possibly an attitude adjustment. Possibly some physicality of some kind. We were all thinking it. I think most people were thinking it. And instead, you know, The Rock teases us yet again and ends up rock bottoming Mark Henry. But this has got to set up these two for a face-to-face or a nose-to-nose next week on the go-home show heading into WrestleMania.
I think next week you'll see the whole, maybe, you know, where the security guys kind of hold them back from each other type thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, Basil, what would you like to see in this situation? Go home show next week on Raw. Do you want to see these two go at it? Do you want to see them have no physicality at all? Do you want to have the suits from the back and the referees hold these two apart? What would you like to see next week on the Go Home show?
Well, first, I'd like to see The Rock apologize to Mark Henry for rock bottoming him. They used to be members of The Nation together. Come on. The Rock has forgotten, man. He's forgotten his past. Anyways, I'd like to see, I don't know if I want to see physicality. I'm a big fan of leaving the moment of truth until it really is the moment of truth. I don't like seeing matches before they're supposed to happen. I don't like to see the physical contact. I'd like to see something along what James was saying, kind of like them, you know, just getting so close and getting there, but just not being able to get their last fingernail on each other. I think that is going to leave the fans bloodthirsty, and that's what they're going to be like, okay, we haven't seen these guys touch each other since Survivor Series when they had the altercation after their tag match. So I think that's what you got to do. Leave the physicality aside, but still keep that energy.
Now, do you want to see a nose-to-nose stare down next week?
You know what? I think that would be kind of nice. Considering all these guys have done is just yak, I think maybe some silence would do it a bit good.
Something
intense, yes.
I would hope next week we get none of this comical bullshit.
Fruity pebbles, none of that.
I don't want any of that next week. I want straight-up seriousness. Exactly. Hyping up the main event of WrestleMania.
I
want
to see The Rock be as serious and intense as I know he can be.
It seems like that's been forgotten about here. This is the main event of WrestleMania, possibly one of the most anticipated matches in the last 10 years.
They're calling this the biggest match in WWE history.
It really sounds like you guys want WrestleMania trending on Twitter.
Maybe. I'd like to have Smack Talk Radio Live trending on Twitter.
That'd be much better.
So, are you happy with what you saw tonight then?
From Rock and Cena, no, I'm not. No? A lot of what we've kind of seen already so far, some video vignettes with a few tossed and sprinkled little jokes. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a whole lot from Cena tonight besides the fact that he overcame a very dominant Mark Henry, which Cena is obviously not unfamiliar with. He's pulled a few comebacks in his day thanks to some favorable booking. But nothing was really new here tonight, so I think next week they really have to hammer it home before WrestleMania.
Yeah. James?
You know what? I'm still thinking Cena's looking better in this whole thing. Hmm. I mean, the whole rock bottom was very nice, but it's
So hold on a second. You're saying Cena looked better than The Rock tonight?
Not tonight. I'm just saying overall, the whole program, Cena, okay, to me, is still looking better.
I thought Rock looked good
tonight. Oh, yes. Tonight, The Rock definitely looked way better.
I'm sorry, but he had me going when the way he walked down the ring tonight, or to the ring, I should say, he really had me going. I thought he was looking as intense as you can look for The Rock anyways.
Does The Rock look better if he doesn't make an appearance tonight?
In terms of in the ring?
I mean in the ring, personal live appearance.
The Rock has got to be in the stadium each and every night heading into WrestleMania.
Agreed.
This garbage of pre-taped segments.
If The Rock wasn't in Philadelphia tonight, to me, that would have just destroyed all credibility.
Especially if Cena came out with that victory over Mark Henry. Cena would have looked much better, I think, had that Rock Bottom not gone down.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. We are then shown what happened 2 weeks ago with the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, telling Triple H that he knows who's going to win the Taker versus Triple H match at WrestleMania. And that's because, he reminds us, that he's been made the special guest referee. We are then showing a graphic reminding us of the face-to-face with all three men tonight. And we had Metallica playing in the background. They're really using this Metallica music every single time The Undertaker's mentioned. But that's another story.
The memory remains.
Yeah. Now, after the commercial break, we are shown the Maria Menounos on Extra segment. And this is where Maria Menounos was interviewing Kelly Kelly earlier this week. And I don't know if you guys saw this. Well, you must have seen it. You saw it tonight, obviously. But I don't know if you saw it earlier before tonight. But, she was interviewing Kelly Kelly on her show. Even Beth Phoenix. They ended up crashing the set. Beth grabbed Maria's face and security interrupted, almost like a Jerry Springer type moment where security was holding everyone back. And this would set up their WrestleMania match. So we're going to have Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres taking on Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos at WrestleMania. I guess this is your replacement for Shaq as the celebrity appearance.
Oh, man. I don't know. I did not like that whole thing on Extra. It just looks so fake and contrived to me.
Well, of course.
I'm not excited for it whatsoever.
I thought it looked pretty fake, too. If you look at all of those girls, I'm pretty sure Beth Phoenix could pop their heads clean off if she really wanted to. So the fact that she was being ushered away by some pretty prissy-looking security, I found unbelievable.
And what's with Beth Phoenix wearing dresses and makeup all of a sudden now?
You got to make her look somewhat like a woman. Come on now, James. Yeah, Beth is a beautiful gal. No.
Not everyone likes the gorillas like you do.
Well, to be quite,
I love gorillas.
To be quite honest, a girl the size of a gorilla, Karma. I really wanted to see.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see her in a fight with Beth Phoenix at WrestleMania, but they've unfortunately swept that one under the rug. I'm sure for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not overly stoked on this Divas match.
No, Maria Menounos. She has wrestled before with the WWE. I'm just going to say this. She looks pretty damn hot.
Hey, it's better than Snooki. That's what I'll put. That's what I'll throw out there. It's definitely better than Snooki.
Now, does WrestleMania still need these celebrity matches, do you think?
I think so, because having the celebrity involvement definitely makes WrestleMania what it is, makes it that bigger than normal pay-per-view, right?
And here's the thing about Maria Menounos. She's on the upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars, so there's a lot of talk about her right now. So I don't think it's a bad choice to go with Maria Menounos. I mean, at the end of the day, you need something for the Divas. This is getting exposure on Extra, which is a big show in Hollywood. You know, mainstream attention. It's no John Cena getting into a car accident and ending up on the front page of TMZ.com, but it's a close second.
You don't think it should have been maybe a titles match, though, with the Divas?
Well, the title has just been completely forgot about here,
hasn't
it?
It's pathetic.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to see my title match between Karma and Beth, but unfortunately we're not going to get it. And I do agree that WrestleMania does need a celebrity aspect. If you look back as far as WrestleMania 1 all through the ages, you've had at least somebody
It's what makes Mania Mania, right?
Yeah, okay. I agree. Fair enough. Could they have done better than Maria, though?
Definitely.
Probably.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. We are then shown The Miz, who's standing in the ring with a microphone, and he references King Kong Bundy being at WrestleMania 2 in 1987. Now, was it you that said you had a problem with this?
I have a big problem with that, and I think every loving wrestling fan should have a problem with that. WrestleMania 2 was in 1986. WrestleMania 3 was in 1987, so Miz needs to go back and watch his Coliseum videotapes.
It's like April 21st.
Yeah, all over again.
These dates, man. They're just popping up.
He mentions the fact that King Kong Bundy at least had a match at WrestleMania. And The Miz says that he will not go from main eventing WrestleMania 27 to doing absolutely nothing at WrestleMania 28. And that's why he's issued an open challenge tonight and invited John Laurinaitis to watch very closely so he can prove to him that he deserves to be on Team Johnny at WrestleMania. He has never been more determined or focused in his entire life. I'm going to beg to disagree with The Miz on that one. Because if this is the most focused you've ever been, jeez. Now, Basso, I'm interested to hear your take on The Miz heading into WrestleMania. What do you make of this disaster of a run that this guy has had for the last few months?
He's definitely been, I think ever since Survivor Series, I think he's been on the downward spiral. He's been in high-profile matches, but I don't think he's won in a very, very long time, barring host match performances, which obviously we don't all get to chance
to see. He's currently on 11 consecutive match losing streak, thank you.
Wow, that is... That's an impressive in the loss column, but...
You would have to think that there's a reason for it, though.
There must be a reason, whether it's backstage politics or... That being said, though, WWE has been known to just bury guys, bury them, and then they'll get a run. Like, Sheamus was getting buried the same time last year, and now he finds himself in the world title scene, so...
I think this is by design. I think they have something special in store for The Miz. I don't think this is just a burial of his character. Because, I mean, I think they do have faith in The Miz. He's very active in their public relations.
Well, he's media savvy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't. I think this is by design. I don't think they're just burying him for no reason.
A lot of discussion between me and my fellow wrestling fan friends is that perhaps it's time for a face change for Miz. Maybe they're trying to make him seem like, you know, this Miz guy's really trying to get himself over, but he can't. Maybe he's almost the lovable loser now, where the fans kind of embrace him. I personally couldn't ever imagine Miz playing a face character just by his chachi heel character. I could never see myself liking him. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe the WWE might try that. Who knows?
Now, prediction time. James and I have given our predictions on what we think happened to The Miz at WrestleMania. What do you think happens to The Miz at WrestleMania? Does he get a match?
I don't know if he gets a match, fellas. I thought he was going to be a part of Team Johnny versus Team Teddy, but... As more and more participants are being announced, and even especially with tonight, I think Oksana and probably Vicky will be added to that match. The selection and the spots are becoming limited for The Miz, so I think he gets in the dark match, if anything.
You know,
or maybe he gets thrown in a gag match or something. I don't know what they're
going to
do with him.
I have a really bad feeling that they will insert him somehow into the Rock-Cena match. Mm-hmm. I don't think he will be the cause of the finish. But I think somehow he's going to get involved. Maybe he'll come out and...
End
maybe,
up getting squashed.
And Rock and Cena will both beat the crap out of him and then finally realize, okay, you know, go back to fighting each other.
At that point, isn't it better to stay off the card? Like,
yeah, you would think.
I don't know what they're going to do with The Miz, but it'll be interesting.
But then you don't get the WrestleMania paycheck if you stay off the card. So, hey, if you got to go out and take an attitude adjustment and a Rock Bottom for a WrestleMania paycheck, sign me up!
From what I'm hearing, that paycheck is quite ample now that The Rock is on the card. Mm-hmm. So...
So this is, you know, Miz had issued this open challenge tonight, inviting John Laurinaitis to watch. Now, we waste no time in addressing who is accepting this open challenge.
I thought for sure it was going to be Brodus Clay.
No, James, you are wrong, because it is your 2012 Royal Rumble winner. In case you forgot who that is.
I did.
It's Sheamus.
Oh, that's right. It was Sheamus.
His music hits and he walks out.
Right. Okay. So yeah, this set up The Miz versus Sheamus, and Sheamus would actually take early control in the match, but Miz would turn it around by kicking Sheamus in the head, but then he'd get dropped by a big right hand from Sheamus. Miz would actually go then for the DDT, but it would be reversed into the Celtic Cross for a quick two count. Sheamus would then do you know the double hand knockdown that he does on The Miz? He'd knock him down with that. But Miz would again turn it around with the backbreaker, neckbreaker combo that he does for a two count. Miz would actually then be repeatedly kicking Sheamus on the ground. He'd put him into a sleeper hold for a little bit of a rest spot. Sheamus would kind of like fight to his feet. He'd break out of the sleeper hold. He'd clothesline Miz in the corner. I'd actually hit him with a power slam for a two count. The finish, though, would come when Sheamus was actually in the corner and Miz was staggering up. Sheamus went for a bro kick, but Miz would actually duck it. Miz would then kick Sheamus in the gut, run, hit the ropes, and then actually run into the bro kick itself, and he'd get pinned cleanly. So 12 match losing streak now for The Miz.
Well, good for you, Mike Mizanine. Keep it going, buddy, all the way to WrestleMania. Only a couple of weeks left.
It's announced that Chris Jericho will be on Jimmy Fallon this Wednesday.
Possibly the set where they taped his promo tonight from, because it looked like it.
Yes. That'll be interesting, you know, mainstream coverage heading into the final week into WrestleMania. Yeah. Now, do you want Chris Jericho on Jimmy Fallon, or would you go with a different guy?
Why wouldn't you have Chris?
Oh, I'm just thinking. Jimmy Fallon's a pretty – you can do a lot of comical things with Jimmy Fallon. Is Jericho the right guy for that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Jericho's hilarious. I don't know if his character right now needs it, because he's coming off across such as like a badass.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah, no.
He is Mr. Hollywood these days.
He's very versatile. Hey, Jericho is very versatile.
Now, we are also shown what happened last week with HBK and Undertaker. I can't figure out why they didn't show the Undertaker promoting April 21st. You know, they skipped that line when
For some reason, they cut that out of the video package. Yes. I don't understand why.
Now, Josh Matthews, who is standing up near the entranceway, he introduces at this point the Viper, Randy Orton. And Orton actually joins Matthews up at the top of the entranceway for an interview, a little old school. And Matthews brings up the fact that Orton is facing Kane at WrestleMania. Now, Randy Orton says, "How do I plan on beating a monster? The question is, how does a monster plan to beat me?" He says he beat the monster last summer, and Kane shook his hand. But that was this summer. That was last summer, and this is now. And Randy says that he's not the Big Red Machine. He's Randy Orton. And that's the whole promo.
Terrible. Out of all the programs heading into WrestleMania, this has got to be the one I'm absolutely the least interested in.
What was terrible? Randy Orton's promo or the way I just told that story?
No, Randy... Well, both.
Probably a little bit of both.
But both, but Orton's promo was bad. I mean, I was waiting for Kane to come out from behind, maybe knock him off the stage or something. I mean, you got Kane and you've got Orton both in the same building, and they have no interaction with each other to build this program up this week. I don't know. That
was quite bizarre considering Kane actually was in action earlier against the Big Show. But I was at the same mindset as you. I was waiting for something to happen. His promo ended, and I was like, okay, yeah. Now Kane's going to come out and chokeslam him, right?
Yeah,
and
he's standing right at the edge of the stage. Okay, here he comes. Here comes Kane. No.
There was nothing, and I was underwhelmed. I'm not, like, it seems like a very boring feud going into it so far.
Like, these two weren't even in the same room tonight. I mean, we didn't even see these guys interact at all together.
No, it was very weird and very counterproductive.
It's like I was mentioning to you guys, what a reward for Randy Orton's 2011. Here you go, you get a match against Kane at WrestleMania.
I will say this, though. I did like the interview segment with Josh Matthews up at the top of the entranceway. I miss those.
Those were good.
That was kind of cool, yeah.
That was a throwback, a good old favorite.
We are then shown Big Show at a Be a Star campaign rally.
David Otunga as
with
well.
With David Otunga there.
Wearing the bow tie outside of the ring.
That's right.
Vicky Guerrero.
Keeping up the kayfabe.
Yeah. That's right. Vicky Guerrero comes out, introduces the two newest members to Team Johnny, and that would be Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler. And now we go to commercial break, and when we come back from commercial, Vicky Guerrero and Oksana, who is now out there without, you know, we weren't notified that she was coming out, but Vicky and Oksana are being restrained by all the men in the ring. This is setting up an apparent tag team match, which we weren't even told about.
So we got Kofi and R-Truth in the ring, and they've got no entrances or nothing. So, again, more evidence that they're really rushing this episode of Raw along.
And yeah, this would set up Kofi Kingston and R-Truth versus Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger.
So yeah, basically the match was pretty much already underway as we came back from the commercial break. And now Swagger and Kofi Kingston, they'd be starting it off inside the ring. And they'd go back and forth for a bit until eventually Ziggler would actually clothesline Kofi Kingston from the apron. And then Swagger would hit a Swagger bomb on him for a two count. Swagger would then, you know, start working Kofi in the corner until, you know, he tagged Ziggler in. And they'd kind of do the classic, you know, keeping Kofi in the corner as they tagged each other in. Eventually, Kofi would then reverse Ziggler's offense with a backslide for a one count, and then Ziggler would actually hit him with a nasty drop kick. He'd then tag Swagger in, and Swagger would actually do these kind of elbows to the ribs, followed up by doing push-ups on Kofi Kingston's back, which I thought was kind of cool. He'd then actually...
All while maintaining perfect hair.
Yes.
Boy Scout haircut.
I'm loving the bouffant. I'll say that again. But Swagger would actually have a double arm lock onto Kofi, but Kofi would actually turn it around into a DDT on Jack Swagger. And it was at this point that they're kind of both crawling to the corner, and eventually R-Truth would get the hot tag in. He'd clothesline Ziggler down twice, hit the running spinning elbow that he does off the rope, and then he'd hit a pancake suplex, front face mm-hmm. suplex or whatever.
Yeah. Front face vertical.
Front face vertical. And he'd get the two, or no, sorry, at that point, Swagger would actually try to break up the count, but he'd miss and he'd hit Ziggler. And actually, it was at this point that Kofi would actually knock Swagger out of the ring. And Ziggler at this point would then hit an absolute terrible Famaster onto Kofi. And he'd go for the pin. R-Truth would actually put his leg up onto the bottom rope, but Vicky Guerrero would come, throw his leg off the rope, and Ziggler would get the three count for the win.
Hmm. Anything to say about this one?
I really didn't have a whole heck of a lot to say about this one. Kind of a scrambly kind of.
It was a hard match to write down and describe, I'll tell you that.
Okay, well, we're moving right along.
Well, the one thing that James didn't mention at the end there was that Oksana and Vicky did have another altercation.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And that's what kind of led me to believe that maybe they will be inserted as part of Team Teddy and Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I have a feeling that with this 12-man tag, what we're going to see is we're going to see five guys on one team announced, five guys on another team announced heading into WrestleMania, and then you're going to have that sixth guy kind of be a surprise maybe at WrestleMania. Yeah. Maybe on Team Johnny, you'll have like Alberto Del Rio be the surprise guy.
It's something to look forward to.
And then maybe Rey Mysterio on Team Teddy or whatever be the surprise guy, right?
We are then shown a video of Triple H, who was at a house show last night at Madison Square Garden in New York. And, you know, this is sort of like candid type footage shot by, you know, just someone standing at ringside, and it shows Triple H doing, well, they had said that Triple H did all of Undertaker's moves last night at the show, and they're showing a tombstone to Dolph Ziggler. I just like how they show, I bring this up because I just like how they show these videos every now and then from house shows. It gives people a reason to still go and check these house shows out, because it says that, you know, stuff can still, these shows can still contribute to the main storylines that you see on television. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That somebody might actually lose a belt, lest we forget.
Yeah. I'd like to see some more mid-card title changes happen at house shows. That make it, you know, a house show something important to go to.
To me, it doesn't necessarily have to be a title change, but just something simple as that, where they show a quick clip of something that happened at a house show that could accelerate a program.
As far as I know, Triple H hasn't wrestled since when he fought Punk at Night of Champions in October. So can you imagine if you're just a guy at a house show and all of a sudden, yep, special guest in the tag team tonight, Triple H, you're like, that's awesome.
Jeez,
I got my $60 worth, right? So you're totally right with the surprises at the house
shows. They should do more of that. But,
well, I completely agree, and I think I wish they could.
Now, HBK's music hits. He walks out to the ring, and this is our big Undertaker, Triple H, HBK segment, the face-to-face-to-face that we've been told about three times already tonight. And he grabs a microphone and says, it's the end of an era, the Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania, and what is everyone talking about? The special guest referee, HBK. It's pretty cool knowing that he holds the end of an era in the palm of his hand. Everyone wants to know what is HBK's prediction. Well, you're going to have to wait until WrestleMania, he says, but he will give his opinion of what he thinks will happen. Everyone wants to know, can HBK be impartial as a referee at WrestleMania? And before he answers, Taker, everyone knows that the words end of an era is actually code for end of a streak. It's at this point that the Undertaker's gong hits, his music starts, and the Undertaker's hour and a half long entrance happens. Undertaker walks out to the ring.
That's why they're rushing the show along all night, so they could have ample time for the Undertaker to waddle down to the ring.
Now, Undertaker, when he finally does arrive in the ring, he has a microphone, and he says, right now, Sean, it would be in your best interest to shut up and listen. I told you last week that our match at WrestleMania must be pure. Meaning that HBK must call it down the middle. Triple H's music hits. You know, no time is wasted. Undertaker can't even get through what he's trying to say. Triple H's music hits. He walks out. And all three men are finally standing in the ring. Undertaker stares coldly at Triple H as he spits water from the ring apron. Undertaker's pretty much had enough at this point of all this garbage that's been going on the last few weeks.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Triple H, once he finally does arrive in the ring, he does say, you need to start stop worrying about HBK, because as much as Sean Ego wants this to be about him, it's not. It's about me and you, and it always has been. Like you said, it's our destiny to do this. There have been 24 Hell in a Cell matches since the beginning. You and I have been in 19 of them. Not a coincidence. And that the match that started as the Devil's Playground became my proving ground. It's where I learned what it takes to end another man's career. The whole world is going to see the end of an era, yours. I know what it takes to end it. Taker cuts him off and he asks, do you? Triple H, your kids, your wife, your career, your whole life, you're willing to put it all on the line? And Triple H replies with, if it means giving you the end you so richly deserve, then I am and I will. An intense stare down with each other as Undertaker slowly backs away. He's about to exit the ring, but he turns around, walks back up to Triple H. He sort of pauses And then he finally says, "You remember when I said Sean is better than you? He is."
Bam!
Sean, standing behind Triple H, almost smiling as Triple H and HBK look at each other with two really completely different
looks.
Almost
smiling. Almost smiling. He was smiling.
Yay. And that smile from it, HBK, sorry, eventually turns into a intense stare down with Triple H as those two men stare at each other as we end Monday Night Raw.
Right there, I'm thinking WrestleMania 29.
Your final thoughts, or your thoughts on the final segment tonight, Basso?
To be quite honest, I was bored to death of Undertaker's promo. I was bored to death of Triple H's promo. I thought, once again, HBK made this promo, and he didn't even do it with any words. He did it with a simple smirk. All he needed to do was, Taker said, "You know what? Sean is better than you." And you can tell Sean right away. He was like, yeah, he took a little bit of glow from saying that the Taker had put him over, almost to the point where Triple H is like, damn it, now I have to prove it to two of these guys, not just one.
Michaels' facial gestures in the background totally made this whole thing for me.
Yeah.
I mean, but honestly, this whole segment, like, what did it really accomplish? What did it really move forward here?
I'm interested to see this WrestleMania promo package that they put together, because the amount that these two have said to each other, you know, it seems like this video package could be 10 minutes long because they've really, that's all this has been, is talking, and they've just been hammering it out week in and week out, and I don't know, it's a lot to take in.
I think you just need to save the promo video and show Taker's bald head. That's all there is to it.
Now,
that's a shocker.
Will we see his bald head at the Go Home show going into WrestleMania?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Now, do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, Taker's, he's had that hair. He's one of those guys that is synonymous with his hair. When he cut his hair short during the Dead Man Inc. days, I didn't like that. I like Taker with a long, stringy head of hair. It was almost like, and it still bothers me, CM Punk. He was one of those guys that I thought, you know what, it's finally good to have a guy in wrestling who wears his hair long again.
Yes, I agree with you there,
CM Punk. And he cut it now, and I just think it's one of those things that you should see on a wrestler. Long hair, muscles, tattoos. Taker had it all.
But I think Undertaker's probably at that point where his long hair is almost starting to resemble a Hulk Hogan skullet. So it might be in his best interest to get rid of it before anyone sees that.
I think it also tells a point as far as the story, though, that maybe that it's a sign of weakness, that maybe the Taker was his hair was a sign of his strength and his what's the word? Fertility? No, not fertility, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
And what's wrong with skullets?
A lot.
Hulk Hogan has made a living off of having a skullet.
James is defending them because he'll have one when he gets a little older.
Absolutely.
The point is that I think Taker, it'll be a shocker to see him without the hair, but
it will be.
It's part of the character in the story, so I think it really is important.
Do you risk having the crowd turn on the Undertaker if you shock them at WrestleMania?
I don't think they're going to turn on the Undertaker for having a bald head.
I don't think so,
so
either.
So does Triple H get booed at WrestleMania?
No, I think there's going to be a positive reaction for both of them.
I think honestly, it's going to be one of those 50-50 Legends matches where, almost like Ultimate Warrior Hogan, where the crowd is split and whoever wins, somebody's going to go home happy. That being said, I don't think the streak should end with Triple H.
Now, do you generally like what you see with this program so far?
It's a lot of the same tactics from last year. I find they're relying heavily on the insertion of HBK. He's played a huge part in this role, as he did last year, even though he didn't take place in the match this year. They've kind of, I find it almost like a repeat where they're just kind of giving us HBK.
I think it would have been better to have HBK as a special guest referee last year as opposed to this year.
Mm-hmm. It adds an element. It adds an element,
for
sure.
Do you think the program needed it?
I do. Yeah. I think it needed it for the sake of the dynamic. Is he going to screw Taker? Is he going to screw Triple H? Is he going to call it up the middle? That puts doubt in our minds, and that's what you need in wrestling fans.
Now, I'm going to follow that up with, is there any doubt in your mind? Could this be the end of the Undertaker streak?
I wouldn't put it past Triple H to end the streak. I think Triple H could do it. Personally, I don't want to see it happen.
You know what? Now that Shawn Michaels is involved in the aspect that he is, I really don't see Triple H ending the streak at all. If Shawn Michaels wasn't involved and it was just a straight Hell in a Cell match, then yes, for me, there would be that level of believability that Triple H could end the streak in the Hell in a Cell.
I've always asked this question. If it's not Triple H that ends the streak, who is it?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I don't think the streak's ever going to end. That's just my personal opinion.
Because let's be realistic here. Triple H is the guy to run the WWE when Vince passes it on.
Yeah.
So it would make sense in my head that the guy who will be eventually running the company, who will be the man at the top, would be also the guy that ends the Undertaker streak.
That's part of the reason that makes me believe that Triple H could make it happen.
But then, in the back of my mind, I also think we have not seen the Undertaker versus John Cena yet.
We definitely haven't seen that. If What would you guys like? If you're the booker, the book is in your hands, you have the final decision, what happens at WrestleMania 28?
In my opinion, I say end the streak. Because I think you take out The Undertaker while he's on top. Every year that goes on from here on out, he's going to look older and less agile, and he's not going to be able to do as much. And this all needs...
And I totally disagree with you.
No, hold on. You risk tarnishing his legacy. And I don't want to see that happen to The Undertaker like we've seen that with a lot of other wrestlers.
No, I totally disagree with you because I think that the streak is something that's mystical that really should not be broken. So I don't know.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it at that. We got to get out of here. Basso, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen. It was an absolute pleasure.
Let's do this again sometime.
Oh, you for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
James, absolutely. You're happy?
I'm very happy, man. I'm always happy. Come on now.
Alrighty. www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, or on Twitter at SRL Radio. I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald.
I'm Corey Basso.
See you later.